can we overcome it? You know, today our society, we, many people, and even sometimes in the church, we turn to things like self-help books or conferences. But, you know, sometimes we will drive halfway across the country to listen to a powerful speaker, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God. And I know from firsthand that the only thing that can ever reach a man or a woman and to possibly save their soul is the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Paul said it best in Romans 1:16. He said, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it, and he's talking about the gospel, is the power of God to salvation. And he goes on to say it's for everyone that believes. First the Jew and then also the Greek. Our world is deceived. Calvinism is infecting the religious world at an exponential rate. People are confused. They're how can I overcome the world if God doesn't call me to come into His kingdom? We, as God's children, we are vessels. These earthen vessels that we have, it's treasure. We can have nothing in this world but have the truth of the gospel on our lips, on our heart, and on our mind. And we're rich. And we are going to overcome the world, not because of us or any efforts that we do. Because, as a matter of fact, no matter how good we are, even in Christ, the Lord looks at us because He's a holy God. He looks at us and He says, you've nothing but filthy rags to me still. But He's going to save us. Why? Because that's His promise. And when God makes a promise, it's not like our promise. He's going to make sure that He's faithful to the end. Even if we remain faithless, He will remain faithful.
Thank God.
Amen. We're coming here this morning. I made a comment by Brother Darrell. He said, look at all these different churches. And my friends, they're social players. They come to be entertained. They come to do all kinds of other stuff. We come here to open up God's precious Word so we can hide it and treasure it in our hearts, so we don't, first of all, sin against Him, but first of all, so we can know it, be diligent about that. And when we meet other people that have all these different ideas about how I can be saved, when we come to them with the simplicity and the truth of the gospel, some people are like, they're overwhelmed with the simplicity of the gospel. And we have to get back to that simplicity of the gospel. So this morning, first of all, let me ask you a question. How many of us don't have any tribulations or trials in this world? I have them. Each and every single day. Just because I come up out of the water, even though I'm a new creation, I come up out of the water, my troubles still continue, and they're going to fall. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that they're going to increase. 2 Timothy 3:12. The Bible says this very plainly. It says, yes, indeed. We're going to suffer persecution. All who desire to follow Jesus are going to suffer persecution. It's not... Are we? When are we going? We're going to suffer persecution. And we know that God brings us different trials and lives to make us stronger and to bring us closer to Him. And the hardest part about some of those trials and tribulations is, why me? Why me? The next time that you look at a trial or a tribulation, flip it on that and say, why am I so broke? Why am I so blessed? You know, in this country, we have it so good. There's people around the world that they're wondering where their next meal is going to come from. They're wondering how they're going to cover themselves. They're wondering how they're going to stay warm. They're wondering how all this is going to work out. And the only way that we can be secure and safe in this world is to make sure that we're in Christ. Because He has overcome the world. And when I was studying John 16:33, I hope you have your Bibles, because we're definitely going to be in the Word of God. I'd like to start with John 16:33. You know, the context around this is that Jesus' disciples, he just promised them that the Comforter is going to come. And that's promises to do. He promises them that they're going to have help in this world. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And what's interesting, I'm sure many of you know this, but when you get to verse 33, let's pick up. I'm going to be reading back and forth the New American Standard and the New King James. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me," that's in Christ, in that location, "you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." You know, Jesus hasn't even went to the cross yet. He hasn't put the sacrifice and the atoning blood. He hasn't dripped that out of his veins yet for us. But he says, "I've already overcome the world." Jesus knows. And see, what my point is, this is that if we have Jesus with us, no matter what we're feeling in the world, we sometimes feel like God's not even with us. Because of some of the things we're going through, but he's always with us. And we will overcome if we stay faithful to him. Yes. Like I said, it's not what we do, our effort. It's only Jesus. I think a lot of people in this world are confused because they're trying to follow different things and doctrines and other things, but they forget that all we have to do as Christians is follow our Lord Jesus, because he is the one that has overcome the world for us. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We're going to pick up, we're going to read verse 2. Romans chapter 4. Bible reads and says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." We as Christians, if we're trying to overcome the world, we find ourselves sometimes becoming conformed to it. If we don't trust in what Jesus has told us, we'll find ourselves becoming conformed to the world. It's such an easy thing. You know, when Paul, all the letters that he wrote, you know, as I study the life of Paul, I look. Paul thought he was doing everything right to God. As a matter of fact, he was offering all this service. He said in Acts 26:9, he said, "You know, I barely thought within myself that I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." And I studied more, and I look at all the disciples, and especially Paul. He says, "I was a Pharisee of a Pharisee." Concerning the law, he was, you know, blameless. He knew the law very well, but yet he still missed the fact of Jesus as being the Messiah when he came to this world. Paul still was persecuting. You know, he wasn't persecuting God. But when you persecute Jesus, the reality of it is you are persecuting God. You know. He didn't believe it either. But he had to have, you know, when he got called to the third heaven, he saw things that he said, "I can't even say, because they're unlawful." But Paul got new information on that road. And that's what changed. And a lot of people out here in the world need that specific information of the gospel to help them change. Because, like I said, it's so easy to become conformed to this world when we live in this world. Especially when we see other people around us living sometimes the way they do, other denominations maybe, and how they do things. And we ask ourselves, how can we, as Christians, not become conformed to the rest of the world? Well, I think the solution is in Scripture. It's Colossians chapter 3. We always have to set our mind on Christ. And if we keep our mind and set on Christ, that's the only way that we can overcome this world. Because how many of you know good people that are not in Christ? I mean, we all know good people. But the more I study Scripture, they're good people. But in the eyes of God, you can be... You're not good. If you're not in Christ, there's two types of people in this world. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. There's no in between. There's none of that. And a lot of the confusion in the world is, how do we get to Christ? And I find that sometimes when you go up to somebody and you say, look, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to change your way of thinking, because you know you're not doing the right thing, if you're willing to transform your way of thinking and try to move your way to God, willing to confess Him and be baptized for remission of your sins, then He'll add you to that one true church. That one true church sometimes hangs a lot of people up. It hangs a lot of people up. You know, the vine, the branches and all this, they think they're the different vines and all this kind of stuff. It's hard to get people to see a lot of times the simplicity of the gospel. You know, I bring this up, and I think that right now in our culture, we have a great opportunity as God's children to combat some folly that's going on in the world. I was at the gym, and I'm going to use this illustration. I was at the gym, I don't know, maybe a month, and I heard some guys over talking next to me. And I didn't really say anything to them, but they all overheard them talking. They said, what did you think about the preachers? I was like, oh, listen. I don't want to hear this. This is going to be good. He said, the guy from the pulpit Sunday said, we should not be going out and being conformed to the world, going out watching bad movies and all this other kind of stuff, but yet they're marrying gay people inside of our church. He said, something is not right. And that's not right. When you start taking Scripture and start, you know, mutilating it and making it say what you want it to say, people are going to catch up with it. And I think right now people in this world are fed up with lies and with things like that. And I think we as God's children have a great opportunity to go out and be bold. That's the thing. We have got to be bold in our communities when we go out. We can never back down from the truth of the gospel, because that's the only thing that has the option or the opportunity to save a person's soul is the Word. So, this week, I know we're here to help with evangelistic campaigns, with meetings, and we're so thankful for that. And we're so thankful for that opportunity. So this week, our challenge is this. We as students, we want you to pray for us and for all of our efforts that God will open these doors for us. Because when we go out, we got to be spiritually prepared and prayerfully prepared, because Scripture teaches us that every time a precious soul comes our way, that God has opened that door for us. How many of you guys know Keith Parker? Well, he's a gospel preacher. So what I mean by boldness in those opportunities, sometimes we miss it. And here's how we miss it. He's a gospel preacher, been preaching all his life. He's out with his daughter for dinner. And she's 5 years old. They sit down at this table. And the guy next to him and his wife or whatever are using some pretty bad language. So Keith just says, asked the waitress, he said, can we be moved? She said, sure, no problem. So they get moved to the next table. Ashley's attentive. Our children are attentive. Ashley said, Dad, why did we move? He thought about it, because he had to think about it for a minute. He knew why they moved. She's 5 years old. He said, well, you know, Ashley, they were using some pretty bad language. And I just thought it would be best if we would move. She said, Dad, why do you suppose that they were talking that way and acting that way that made you want to move and offend you so bad? He had to really think about that. He probably knew the answer. He said, Ashley, they probably don't know Jesus like you and I. You know what she said, Father? Then why didn't you tell them about Jesus?
Out of the mouth of babes.
Out of the mouth of babes, I prepared Christ. He stood there pretty shocked, he says. And he tells the story. He stood there. He didn't say anything. Ashley said, again, Dad, why don't you and I go tell them about Jesus? He said it again a third time. Boldness. You know, Paul, when he prayed, he asked for boldness. This man has wrote 13 New Testament books, inspired apostles, going out, preaching the word, been called to the third heaven, still praying for boldness to speak the things he ought to speak in the way that he speaks. And you and I, we need to be praying for a double, triple, quadruple portion of boldness. Because I know that a lot of our tribulation comes from when we try to do evangelism from other people in the world. A lot of times it ends up into arguments. It ends up into not being, you know, in America, in this culture, it's about I'm being right or this is being right. It's hard to be humble in our society that God calls us to do. You know, the thing about evangelism is this. You may introduce the gospel to someone today, and you may think, I had no bearing on that. It's the Word of God, right? We go out here and we scatter this seed all out. But bold scattering is scattering it to everyone. I know me as a person, I have sometimes a hard time when I get out on the street, and I think, well, I don't think they'd want to hear this. I don't think she would want to hear this, or he would want to hear this, as I judge by appearance. And I need to change it. The Word of God says, very far from Calvinism, that the gospel's for everyone.
Yes.
So if we truly believe, and I do, if we truly believe that when we go out with that seed, we need to scatter it to everyone. And let God do the work. God does the work. It's not what I say. It's not what you say. It's what's said right here. That's what will change your mind. And I'm telling you, it's the only thing that will change your mind. God's work. And us as God's children, we're His hands, we're His feet. And the challenge is not to become conformed and complacent. So, when we go out to scatter, let's just really scatter and sow, and let's let God do that. Because I'm telling you, people in this world, they're hurt. They're struggling. They may not show it on their face. They may not show it in their actions. But people are hurting. They're looking for something. If they weren't, they would not be going to church on Sunday somewhere. We in a week, God puts this inherent thing in us to worship something. And people, it's a hard thing to resist that. And our country, it's the greatest country in the world to live in. But we have so much religious freedom that I believe that it's led to nothing but religious confusion. We've got to figure out a way to help people become unconfused with simplicity. How many of you guys have ever known someone that had the truth of the gospel, were doing great with it, and they decide they want to do something different? Why would someone ever do that? I don't know it, but I'd like to search, research that more, maybe survey people, and figure out what maybe another congregation or another denomination might be doing better than us, and then try to learn from that and bring it over and try to help us too. Being conformed to this world is a hard thing not to do. But we can do it because of Jesus. He's overcome. Acts 14:22. Peter's speaking. He says, look, we've got to enter this world with much tribulation. We've got to enter the kingdom with much tribulation. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You know, evangelism is tough. Evangelism is one of the toughest things I think we as Christians are called to do. Because it puts us in the world, trying to teach others how to come out of the world. And that's the only way to ever overcome the world, is to actually be transferred from that kingdom out there of darkness to His marvelous light, as Colossians teaches us. And so many people don't get that they've got to be transferred out of that darkness. How many of you people know someone in another denomination that are really maybe trying to follow God and struggling? Struggling with their walk. We struggle too, right? But they're really struggling. Can I suggest this to you? That until you are baptized and are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light, to His kingdom, you don't have God's help. You don't have God's help. If we can get people to realize that, look, all the stuff that you're trying to do is wonderful and great, and encourage them and tell them they can overcome the world if they really get to Jesus and make it be positive in our evangelism. But get them to that point where they have to see that they have to be transferred. And my friends, you can't be transferred from something without the operation and the working of God. So we've got to get on people's brains. You can't just say some kind of prayer to God and ask Him to come into your heart. And then later on, be baptized for an outward show of an inward change. Because you know what? You haven't changed because you haven't obeyed God. You haven't been transferred. You haven't been healed of all your sins. You haven't been had God's favor granted to you. So you're still lost out in this world trying to overcome it, but not without God. It's not possible. We struggle overcoming this world. Could you imagine being out in the world not having God? Because each and every single week when we go out into our communities, almost everybody that we stare into the face of is in that situation. Every one of them is in that situation. And I know that I'm trying to get better when I go to the store, that when I go to anywhere, is to let them see the love of Christ manifest through me and just say something to them about Jesus. I know sometimes it's tough for us. It's tough. It's tough for me as a preacher sometimes. But think about all the times that we've missed those opportunities. We've missed them. And I miss them each and every single week too. So, if we have to have Christ, which we know we do, to overcome this world, what should be our main focus each and every single day as we go? Telling everybody that we know, everybody, about the love of Christ and what He can do for them and how He can do it. When I've been evangelizing here lately, the word baptism never comes up. I don't talk about that. I talk about 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I talk about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Prophet, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How How do you get thoroughly improved? It's the Word of God, obeying everything that He does. If you can start there with somebody, if you can't make them see that everything in this Bible is inspired of God, baptism doesn't even need to come up. Baptism will come up. If you can get past that and show them some other things, this right here, God is smart, right? He's all alone wise. This right here will lead you to that water. It will lead you to that water. And that's one of the ways that I've been starting out with people. Because the fact of the matter is, if they can't get over that all Scripture is not inspired of God, then you're done in the water. And sometimes we have to know when to move over to the next one. Not saying our efforts one day may not come to fruition by somebody else. You know, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the increase. God wants us to scatter the seed. Because He supplies the seed to us. We have to be the good soil. So, is there any questions so far? I like to make discussion. I sometimes get to preaching, and I didn't mean to do that this morning. Is there any questions? Any comments? Yes, sir.
I have a question. I just wanted to make a comment about what you were saying about the boldness. We get faced, or we meet with, and the best way to say it, I guess, is adversary of opposition so much that we don't have enough enthusiasm, I guess, to be bold enough. The fact that, in the example that you use, that a person is bold enough, we are bold in our actions and what we do. We tell a greater story how we carry ourselves than anything we could say. But to be bold enough to even make that move to get up, because a lot of people and Christians consider themselves Christians, will continue to sit there and just kind of ignore it. And that's what we do in the world every day. But to be even bolder, which is what we need to do, as you were saying, to try to, it's not going to always work. Sometimes you may get into an argument with somebody like, I don't want to hear that. You know, the first thing you get with opposition. But to make that move and to even let it be known that I don't approve it, you know. And then ask God to help guide us to be able to do better.
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said, you know what, the wide effective door has been opened to me for service, but there are many adversaries. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you go back to the first century, that every time Christians were persecuted more, their blood acted as, the gospel spread even more. It acted as motivation. You know, sometimes that maybe our persecution, or what, where I'm trying to go with this is that every time they were persecuted and had tribulation, the Word of God spread and the church grew. Can we be too comfortable and conform with our current state and actions to make us not be as well? And I think that's a real thing in the church today. I think sometimes we become conformed to this is the status quo. And the world sometimes, not sometimes, as a matter of fact, present tense, the world is turning the church upside down. And in the first century, the church turned the world upside down because of the boldness and the persecution. And sometimes, maybe we lack persecution and we become comfortable and conformed. But the way, I think, for us to get more is just to talk about it to everybody, because we're going to increase it on ourselves. Do you see what I'm saying? And just make us more bold and just pray to God, God, make me bold. I'm with you. It's useful. But we have to practice it. And it's a tough thing. It is a very, very tough thing. But the kingdom is always growing with persecution. Always at home. So any more thoughts?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that with starting with all Scripture. I was always wondering, where do I begin? Where do I start? I don't want to say you're wrong, but But I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But still, you know, when I see people on the street in our neighborhood, and I'll always mention, what a gorgeous day, and they'll say, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, God is so good, isn't he? And they'll say, yeah. You know, and I'll try to get them to continue with that. But then after that, I'm kind of stuck. Okay, how would I say? You know, but I should have said something else. But starting with how important Scripture is, God is good, and I'm so glad we have the Bible to get the answers for our problems today. Maybe that'll help. I don't know. But I needed that. Thank you so much. I needed that.
We don't make opportunities. God opens doors, and we're not alone.
Amen.
You know, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. He's with us, and we open our mouth, and He gives us the words to speak with the right heart. And we need to pray for those opportunities, which I'm just to. And then look for them.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get busy, and I have seen opportunities and not taken advantage of them. Boy, that burns. It really burns. I'm too busy. I got to get home. I don't have time to have this conversation. You're probably not going to end up. You're hitting on a lot of stuff when we make decisions of whether we speak or not.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Scripture, I know Scripture is very clear about, you know, our treasures will follow us. And I think that's talking about the work we do for the kingdom, our converts, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes we just get, like you said, we get too busy trying to store up treasures here than trying to store up treasures in heaven. And we worry about how are we going to pay this bill or that bill, or how are we going to get this done, and how are we going to get that done, and it starts consuming our minds. And Scripture teaches us to trust in God and not to worry about those things. Be anxious for nothing. I think sometimes we even as God's children, we may not approach the throne as much as we should. Because I know the peace for me, it follows, prayer follows, or peace follows prayer every time. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm not going to be anxious about something, because I'm human. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm going to be anxious about things. But I always have to say, you got this, God. Got this time. I have an uncle, and he's a fine man. He's an elder, actually, in the Lord's church. And I'm losing him because he's got leukemia, and he's got prostate cancer, and he's got some, I'm not for sure exactly, I don't understand it all, but he's not making blood. His white blood cell count's about 250,000. And they can't give him chemo because he's not making enough blood. It's attacking some kind of protein. And if they can't give him, they try to give it to him on Friday, but if they can't give him the chemo on Monday, then that's going to be the last week. Because they can't give him blood either because of some other complication. And I saw this firsthand. I'm going to use it as an example. I know he wouldn't mind, but I called him in the hospital, and he was like, man, I don't know why this doctor ain't about to see me. He's here. I'm going to have to say something here. I don't really want to. He's like, if I get out of here, I'm going to go to his office. And I'm like, look, you're at the end of your life. I know you don't want to. He's got treasures in this world. He doesn't want to die. He's got grandchildren. He's got things. But he's trying to hold on too much. He's already been here. If you just hold on, I said, look, God has brought you this trial. Maybe you weren't as close as you thought. But take this opportunity to make sure that you are. Mm-hmm. And don't be complaining about this and that and da da da. I'm saying you're going to use this trial to make you stronger towards the end of your life. Make sure you're right with God and go home. And I know that we get conformed to this world. And want to stay here, and I think we lose sometimes sight of what we should be doing. Amen. And us as God's children, the only thing we should be doing is talking about Him, mm-hmm. praising Him, mm-hmm. bringing others to Christ, and trusting in Him, and wanting to go home. Mm-hmm. I'm not facing death, but I think I'm ready to go home.
Amen. Amen.
This world, it has nothing for me. I lived in this world before I came to preach this morning for all my life. And I know firsthand that the Word, the power of God, is the only thing that can change you and transfer you out of this world. But instead of being conformed to this world, Colossians chapter 3, the world, set our mind on things above and not worry about anything on this earth. Because we have overcome this world, if we'll stay up. Because God's going to remain faithful. Jesus is going to save us. And we can have that assurance. And I think sometimes we, as even God's children, we lose that hope. And sometimes ourselves. Because maybe sometimes we even know because maybe we know we maybe have too much in the world. And we need to start coming out. Because we've already been transplanted out of that. And we need to start doing that too and start coming out of the world even more too. And then we can start turning the world upside down. And really make it. Because I'm afraid that this country is too far. I don't see anything in Scripture ever of any nation ever being healed without the king or whoever getting in sackcloth and ashes in their pity. And I don't ever see that happen. Sometimes we put our in men and this and that and that. We have one man to put our trust in.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And that's it. And we should never, ever, ever want to do anything contrary to His name. Never. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. And He is most important of all, our brother and friend. Now that's comforting. To know how much God loves us. And to know that He's with us to overcome this whole brutal world out there. I'm trying myself to take everything that I have and to take it out of this world and take it out of there and just try to serve Him. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, when you do that, it brings about a peace that you're ready to go home. But God's not ready for a shipment. When He's ready, He'll call. God desires all men to be saved. So if God desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, which He does, that right there alone should refute most of our friends around here anyway. Because they think you have to be called or whatever by Him. We're all called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we're all called by the gospel. And that's how we're called. You can start there maybe and say that, you know, God desires all men to be saved. Why would He only save a few? Why would He only save a few? He wants everybody to be saved. And us as God's children, we should want that too. Mm-hmm. And I know that me, I confess, that sometimes when I go out, I sure don't act like that I want everybody to be saved. Because I'm out there deliberately. So, and I need to be out boldly. And let God do the work. Any more questions? So I should come back to you.
Well, I'd submit to you that we are all one day closer to going home.
Oh, amen.
Every day that the Lord grants us, we're all one day closer. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people don't really comprehend or appreciate that. It's kind of like when we were younger, we were looking forward to the age when we could get our driver's license. We were looking forward to when we could graduate. We're looking forward to when we can retire. We should all be looking forward to going home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I submit to you, of course, what is written in Scripture as well, when you're talking about the condition of the Lord's people. And it's not to whitewash everybody, of course. But again, what is stated, James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, So faith without deeds is dead. So again, it's evident. It's right there. Also, when we are striving to be a servant of the Lord, if that is our genuine goal, if we are striving to be that, to please Him, to honor Him, to acknowledge Him in everything that we do, our prayers should so reflect that, that when we wake up in the morning, we are grateful for the opportunity He has provided. Ask the Holy Spirit through Him to help us do His bidding, mm-hmm. and to look for those opportunities to acknowledge Him before them, and to also give us the boldness. So there we go. The boldness. To give us the boldness, like you said, because sometimes it's easier to talk about a football team than it is to talk about the Savior who created everything. Mm-hmm. So we got to get ourselves beyond that to what's really important. And that obviously, it's what's in the Scripture that is most important.
Yeah. You know, I know the preaching students, I know I feel blessed that we are in an opportunity at the school there that every day we meet from 8 to 3:30, we study God's Word, and that's all we do is talk about it. And that's manifest in my life. That's all I like to talk about. And I know what you were bringing up. Sometimes I go to I love potlucks. But how many times do we talk about fishing and the weather and this and that? And we're God's children. Why are we not planning about how to overcome that? Everything that comes out of our mouth should be, how can we get more people in this building? How can we get more people to God's, you know, kingdom? How can we get them saved? Not about how big was the fish you caught last night, or how's that snowmobile trip seen here. Let's talk about the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Because if we're to be about the work of the Lord all the time, then that's what we need to be doing. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about fishing. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about golfing. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that kind of stuff. But especially you think, well, sometimes when we get together as God's children, mm-hmm. we should be talking about the Lord. And that's just an opinion. But I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense. And another thing we got to do is figure out why our kids sometimes do it. We've got to figure that out. We've got to figure that out. The Lord's church is very distinctive. We are a peculiar people, you know, we're different. And we've got to live that way, too. And I think that's one of the reasons, it's many reasons, why the Lord's church is not growing as fast as we'd like it to. Because our confirmation, conforming to the world, make this suggestion to you. If we look just like the world sometimes, what do we have to offer?
Amen.
Yeah. We don't have anything to really offer. And that's the answer to it. So if we're doing all the things, we're letting our kids do all the things that the world is doing, and we shouldn't be doing that, mm-hmm. then why are we losing our kids? Because maybe we need to look at them. Mm-hmm. Because we're allowing them to become conformed to this world. And we let them do things that, quite frankly, 50 years ago inside the church, wouldn't even be questioned. Mm-hmm. But if our kids go out, dress the same, look the same, act the same, do the same things,
Amen.
Then we're losing them because of the fact that we've already conformed it to the world, mm-hmm. because we're not teaching the way Jesus wants mm-hmm. to teach. And that's why we're losing. So, again, do not be conformed to this world. Because this world has nothing to offer us. So, if we need to make a change in our lives, then we just slowly start backing out of the water, because it's hard. Mm-hmm. But if you're making that conscious effort to do it, then God's going to be pleased. Because what is that? It's just what's doing what God wants you to do. And just renewing your mind, setting it every day, setting it to read Scripture, setting it to teach what the Lord teaches, and never compromising on it. And not let, you know, for example, I know that right now is, you know, promises and stuff. 50 years ago inside the church, kids were not going to come.
Amen.
No matter what. Because we believed it was sinful. What in the world has changed in 50 years? Nothing but our conformity. We've got to stop. So the next time prom comes around, or whatever, when the kids want to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we've got to make a stand and say, hey, I love you. We don't do that. Because we just don't do that. And that's what we have to stand. We have to stand and make a firm stand. Because sometimes we as parents, I'm a father. Sometimes we as parents, we say, I'd rather my kids be free than to be a parent to them sometimes. And we have to say, look, I want you to go to heaven. And that's the only thing I want for you. And if it causes me and you to be out on the outs for a little bit, it's for your good. And I have seen too many members of the church, and back where I'm from, preachers posting prom pictures and stuff that, why? What are you doing? The gospel don't change. The truth of the gospel does not change, but we do. And we have to come back to what the Lord wants us to do and make a stand. Any more questions? I think I'm out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.